Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, thank you so much for tuning in. We've got Jeff Kinley back with us to talk about some exciting things, particularly about the youth in this nation and how we can equip them. Not we, but Jeff and Todd, that's their business. Of course, I try to do that too in a different way. But before we get to Jeff, I've got to remind you, this is amazing. Time's flying. And we've just entered our third year of producing Worldview Matters podcast. And really amazing what God's done. It's taken off. Thank you and praise Jesus. But to continue speaking the truth and exposing evil, talking about important things like Bible prophecy and creation and things like that, we depend on your prayers and the generous support of our viewers and listeners. So right now, we just kicked off a brand new campaign for supporters to consider giving a tax-deductible gift of $200. Or you can become a monthly supporter of maybe $25 a month. If you can do that, that'd be great. And as a small token of our appreciation, we've got this handy new stainless steel mug. It's a tumbler etched with Worldview Matters on one side and Keep Speaking the Truth About Things That Matter. That's my tagline on the other side. So simply go to worldviewmatters.tv if you're able to. But either way, we appreciate your prayers. That's the most important. And thank you for your support. So Jeff Kinley, it's great to have him back with us. This brother, we are just amazed at the ministry. This guy, he should look a lot older because he's done a lot of ministry. So we'll get an update from him. Jeff, the website, jeffkinley.com. Also another one, the Prophecy Pros podcast with him and Todd Hampson. And futurehope.now is a new site and an exciting vision that they have that we're going to talk about a little later on in the podcast. But Jeff, thank you so much for your time. Good to see you, brother.
It's good to see you, David. It's always great to be on. I really appreciate everything that you do. I'm a big fan.
Well, praise God. Thank you for catching us up on your busy life. Before we got on the air, you mentioned you were in Germany or Alaska. And just tell us a little bit about where you've been speaking, what you've been doing, and I don't know how you do it, but go ahead.
Well, it's just been very exciting just to see the places that God opens up doors of opportunity for ministry. Was over in Germany speaking at a conference focusing on Israel, and then also teaching a couple of classes at a Bible school there while I was there, and was in Belgium earlier in the summer speaking at a church there. So, and getting ready to head off to Chino Hills and do some conference ministry there with some youth. And so, yeah, very busy up to the end of the year, but we're going to finish strong.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you guys are, I'll tell you, I don't know, you've got so many things going on and you've done so much ministry already. I think it's time to jump into this book. This is an amazing book, so well done, A Visual Guide to the End Times. If you're new to this podcast, we had the co-author, Todd Hampson, on about 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. I don't remember now, but it was recently. If you want to look that up, we focused on the book, but because we do want to get to some exciting things that they're working on, Jeff and Todd, I just want to ask Jeff a couple questions about the book. And one of them is really the fact that you guys have written many other books on eschatology. So I know this is a visual guide, but what else is different about this one, Jeff?
Well, what's different about this book, which is very exciting, is that it's very comprehensive. In other words, it covers not only the events and the timeline of the end times, but it goes into who are the people, who are the key players, the key principles involved in this end times drama. We talk about angels in the book, whole sections on angels and on how do you even understand Bible prophecy. We've got a section in there for pastors on helping pastors to see the need and the critical the link, the connection that Bible prophecy has to discipleship. So it's kind of the theme of it is sort of like Prophecy Airlines. And Todd and I are your pilots, and we're going to be taking you on this incredible journey over the landscape of Bible prophecy. And then, David, as you open the book, you see it is just packed with these vibrant colors. They just leap off the page. And so with great, solid content, it's partnering with some pretty compelling images and artwork there that kind of jump off the page to you. So it's very engaging.
And Todd does such an amazing job with his talent, his gift from God, I believe. I can't draw stick people, but he does a great, great job with all this. So why you guys could have done a book on almost anything related to the rapture, end times, eschatology, prophecy. Why did you decide to, you know, go this route for this one?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one key factor, and some of these things you kind of only know in retrospect, you look back and see the hand of the Lord. But I think what we're seeing now is a sleeping giant awake. We're seeing a remnant in the body of Christ that are waking up for the very first time to the message that's found in Bible prophecy. And they're like, gosh, I want to dive into this stuff. I'm not ready for the seminary level yet, but I really want to get an introduction to it, to dive into some of the key topics and key players involved. And so this book really helps to meet that need kind of for the Christian masses that are coming alive right now and wanting a little more depth in terms of end times, discerning the times, the return of Jesus, the Antichrist, globalism, all these things. And so I think the book really meets that need there in the church today.
Okay, so last, maybe I was going to ask two more questions, but I think we can double up on this one. So you've got six parts to the book. And there's a very interesting flight theme in the book. I just happened to open up to part six, and that's pilot training and then practical tips for leaders. Thank you and Todd for putting this in there. But talk to us about the six parts and why. What's the significance of the flight theme?
Yeah, so basically we wanted to put it in a sort of a user-friendly way that didn't create a huge threshold to go from a person's life into the area of Bible prophecy. We wanted to make it very easy to make that transition. So it's kind of like as you get on the plane, the boarding process is very problem-free. It's very seamless, and so we're going to get you set in a comfortable seat, but you're going to be sitting by a window so you can look out the window. The pilots are going to be communicating to you all the way through this incredible flight. And then also in terms of pilot training, in terms of reaching leaders, we do know that there are a lot of pastors out there that are bivocational. Maybe they've never been to Bible college or seminary. Maybe they've got a couple, three jobs going on. And just simply for time's sake, a lot of pastors don't have the luxury of being able to invest a lot of study time into Bible prophecy. So this kind of comes as an intro to them as well. And because we believe that pastors are obviously critical players in the body of Christ today, and they're the ones that set the temperature. They're the ones that set the tone of what's going on. And so if they're going to hear about Bible prophecy, we want it to be from a trusted voice and from someone that's going to help lead them from a Bible study approach that's going to be safe, that's going to be reasonable, that's going to be scriptural, and it's going to lead to a conclusion concerning Bible prophecy that will help them communicate that transferably to their own congregations.
Thank you. You know, I had forgotten about that. So important, because a lot of pastors do not go to seminary, and yet they, I don't know how it all works, but they get ordained, they end up leading a church or going into ministry, and they're not equipped themselves. So this is amazing. Thank you guys for doing that. That very important section. Okay, so I do want to ask you one more question, because I just happened to be flipping through, and I come up to page 44, the peace covenant in Daniel 9, and I'm going, oh, because I just want to get your take and your thoughts and your perspective, Jeff, because of what's going on in the Middle East, what the Trump administration has been trying to do, and Israel and peace, and we know there's going to be false peace. Just this is important to put in there. What's your take on what's going on, what we're seeing now?
Yeah, well, I think it's critical that Christians pay attention to Israel, because Israel is God's hourglass of the end times. They're sort of the Rosetta Stone to understand what's going on. And in order for the prophecies that we see in Revelation and Daniel to take place, there has to be an Israel. Well, guess what? There's an Israel. And yet since Israel's rebirth, there's been nothing but really pushback, opposition, wars, conflicts, battles against this tiny nation that's no bigger than the state of New Jersey. You could fit about five Israels inside Lake Michigan. The whole point is that because there's so much turmoil, there is a greater need for peace. And you know, I've had people say to me, "Well, gosh, I don't want there to be peace in the Middle East. That means the Antichrist is coming." I was like, "No, the Bible says for us in Psalm 122 to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to pray for the day when the Prince of Peace would come back and make that peace when he returns at the second coming." However, as we lead up to the time in Daniel 9:27 when Antichrist will sign that peace covenant with Israel, there's going to be attempts at peace. Some of them will be moderately successful, temporarily successful, but none of them will have the type of import and staying power that one peace treaty that Antichrist signs with Israel will be. And so I think these are precursors, they're foreshadows, they're the sneak previews, and I think they just contribute to the idea that there is a critical need for this kind of peace in the Middle East. Antichrist and Satan will seize upon that need, and they will bring that temporary sense of relief to the nation of Israel.
Wow. Prophetic times, I'd say. Absolutely. I think more people are starting to pay attention, I hope. But anyway, a complete survey of the chronology and events of the last days, a visual guide to the end times. Thank you, you and Todd, for this amazing book. It really is, friends. And it's done so well that even I can understand as I flip through because some of the visuals help me. I'm a visual person. So, which is another benefit to the book. Anyway, you guys are working on something very important. We've been seeing, I don't want to say pockets of revival. And a lot of times it's youth driven. I've seen some college campuses, some football teams boldly speaking out for Christ, baptizing kids, students on the college campuses. We're seeing church movements. We're seeing worship and Bible sales off the charts, more church, increased church attendance. And a lot of this is in the last month or 6 weeks or more has because of Charlie Kirk and his assassination. And people are thinking, well, maybe I better wake up. But what you guys are doing, you're trying to help reach and equip the youth as well. And that's why I want to go back to the website, futurehope.now. And tell me, Jeff, how long, this is brand new, isn't it? Have you been working on this for a while? I think you had a conference at the end of last year. Tell us about how this came to be, and then we'll talk more about the details.
Yeah, it's incredibly exciting. And rather than being sort of a knee jerk to what's going on now, this is something that God has seeded from way back over a year ago when we received a phone call from Jack Hibbs. And he said, look, we want to do a youth prophecy conference and we want the prophecy pros to come in and teach our youth.
Wow.
Well, in working with Chino Hills and the youth pastors, we're like, how many kids do you expect to come to this thing? Like, I don't know, maybe one or 200, 300, maybe at the most. 1,000 teenagers showed up. Another 1,000 were watching online. They were dialed in from word one. I mean, you're talking 16, 15, 14-year-olds out there not looking around, not passing notes, not talking to their friends. They are riveted on the truth that we shared about Bible prophecy. They're taking notes. And then afterwards, we had Q&A sessions, and they were lined up 50 deep down every aisle, asking the most substantive questions. Now, for me personally, that wasn't the surprising part because I'd been a youth pastor for 25 years and had taught my students through Bible prophecy, through Revelation, Romans, and books of the Bible. And I know that teenagers can handle any truth that an adult can. But the thing that we don't normally recognize is the fact is they actually want the truth. They don't want to be entertained or just brought into a room and fed pizza. They want something of substance. And when they look at their world around them, they see that it's coming apart. In fact, Todd and I were speaking to a large Christian high school of over 500 evangelically trained students, and we asked, how many of you have ever been taught Daniel, Revelation, the end times, discerning the times, anything about the coming of Christ? Not a single hand went up. And yet we then asked, well, how many of you have thought about the end of the world in the last 7 days? Every single hand went up.
Wow.
So these are students that are thinking about their world. And so over a year ago, based upon this conference we had at Jack's church, we just felt like God was calling us to say, we want to bring this message to every teenager in America. And so we founded this 501c3 futurehope.now. We've hired a national director, and we are now in contact with youth pastors about hosting Future Hope events there. And the bottom line, David, is more than just teaching them content about Bible prophecy. It's to give them the future hope that Christ promises in his word.
Man, Jeff, you're going to need more help. You're going to need a bigger
staff. We're going to need a bigger boat. You're right.
I think we're going to need a bigger boat. So as you were speaking, there's so many things that are going through my head. First of all, current events bringing a lot of people maybe to their knees, but maybe causing some to look up. And youth are one, because it's been a crazy time for them in the last maybe, 25 years, with the whole push for transgenderism, removing God and creation and moral relativism. They are hungry for truth. Not all of them, but a lot of young people, they look at the world, they go, or the culture, they go, that's crazy. But they don't know how to connect the dots or explain it. I want to ask you about something, because you alluded to it. You mentioned pizza. I love pizza, but a lot of times I've heard and I've seen in some youth groups over the past many decades, some youth pastors have the faulty idea that their job is to maybe entertain the kids on a Wednesday night and not equip them, let alone teach Bible prophecy. So could you speak to that? How do we reach more? Like you said, you're getting into a lot of churches. This is great, because they're going to get something that's of value eternally. They're going to get the Word of God and not just amusement or entertainment. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, our vision for this is to reach 100,000 teenagers in the next 5 years, and to also train 1,000 youth pastors on how to teach eschatology to their kids. So they're perpetually doing that year in, year out. And over time, the multiplication effect comes into play. This is what Paul said to Timothy, to teach others the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, who then will go to teach others also. The mandate for student ministry is the mandate of the church, which is to make and mature disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we're doing here is simply facilitating that by sort of starting a fire and letting them take the fire home with them. And our prayer, David, is that it wouldn't just be a ministry, but it would be a movement of God among young people today, because young people are the best evangelists to reach their friends for Christ. Mm. They're the best hope givers to share the hope that they have with their generation. And these Future Hope conferences that we're going to be having are going to do just that. They're going to have, instead of confusion that they've seen in the world, they're going to have clarity. Instead of the timidity of not standing up for Christ, they're going to have confidence. And instead of the angst and anxiety and the depression that they've had, they're going to have hope straight from the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and His promised return.
This is so needed. I mean, I think I may have mentioned this to Todd. I think we briefly touched on this. But I said, you know what? There are good ideas and there are God ideas, and this is definitely a God idea. So needed, Jeff. So on the website futurehope.now, there is a link to you can enter your email address, but you can download a free ebook. And is that the one that says Eschatology, the Key to Reaching Teenagers with the Gospel?
Yes. I get that free resource that they download now. And if they want to sign up for our newsletter, we're going to be contacting people. People are already contacting us. Even this past week, we received dozens and dozens of inquiries and people saying, look, how can I help? Or I'm going to go to my pastor about this. Or do you have anything you can give me? So we're putting together materials, sort of a digital media packet, if you will, so that they can take that and know more about what does it look like? What's it going to feel like? Frequently asked questions about what's it take to put on a conference like this. We're going to answer all those questions for folks and make it as easy as possible. But at the same time, we have to reach out to churches and bring sort of the unity of the faith in here to get as many churches involved as possible, because we want to reach a lot of kids.
And at the top, I'm just looking at the navigation, training and events. There you go. You guys thought of everything. And if you scroll down a little bit, there's a bar for attend an event. Then there's host an event, get in touch. And so how do you get this out, the website out to more believers? I know social media is a big thing, but some ministries are shadow banned or censored to some degree. How are you using our pastors that are already in your network, or how does that work? How do we get this out?
Yeah, so we're beginning through the Prophecy Pros. In fact, we've dedicated the next season of the Prophecy Pros podcast to reaching the next generation through Bible prophecy.
Wow.
That
Praise
season, I
God.
believe, launches sometime in January, I think.
Awesome.
Until then, Todd and I both are using our own networks, our own platforms to tell people about it. Coming on programs like yours, on Jan Markell and others that are being scheduled, is another key way to do it. And then, bottom line, it comes down to just the foot soldier taking the message, to other people out there in the body of Christ. And we believe that that's the way a wildfire starts, is that people tell people. And so we encourage folks to share the website, share the vision, contact us about what can be done. Because look, the idea is this, is that if we don't reach this next generation, that from a human standpoint, we're just one generation away from extinction as Christianity. And so we have to pass that baton of faith. And kids are interested. Kids are involved. They want to know what the truth is. And the bottom line is, a Future Hope type event is not only good for discipleship and deepening students, it's great for evangelism. I mean, we saw almost 200 students give their lives to Christ. And it wasn't a scare tactic or anything like that, just presenting the truth, letting God, the Holy Spirit, do his thing. And God drew those kids to Christ. And so we've already got, I think we're up about 800 students so far for this upcoming conference. And so it's just going to be lights out. It's going to be an incredible time.
Wow. I'm so excited to hear about this. And maybe some have tried other things, in different ministries, but this is so important, and this is something that can really catch. And I hope and pray it does, because I look at certain surveys and polls of worldview issues and what professing believers think or know about the Bible. And as you know, Todd, I mean, Jeff, you've probably seen a lot of these reports and just scratch your head and go, these are American churches. Who's teaching them? So then the next question would be, well, if their pastor's not teaching them a proper biblical worldview and equipping the saints, then the people are probably not also doing it on their own. They're not studying. Maybe they don't know how to study. So getting the younger generation, man, I think, I don't know. I know I'm maybe being redundant, but I think that's such a great, for lack of a better word, strategy, because young people are going to be the future leaders and pastors and hopefully disciple makers. Go ahead and share your thoughts on that.
No, absolutely. In fact, several years ago, I co-authored a book with Ken Ham called Ready to Return. And the book was all about, how do we get kids back in the church? And we hired America's Research Group to do an extensive study on America's youth. And what we found is that kids are no longer going off to the old secular university and hearing that evolutionary professor kind of destroy his faith and that kind of thing. No, what's happening is that kids are leaving the faith by age 13 and younger. And they're doing it while they're still going to church every week. And what we found is that the pull and the strength and the pressure that the world and the worldviews out there put on kids is too strong compared to what they're getting in church. And that what we found was that we were giving them the stories of the Bible, giving faithfully telling those stories, but not equipping them on why those stories are true, why your faith is unique, why Jesus really rose from the dead. And so by equipping students with the Word of God, not being afraid to go deeper than just a shallow devotional and then have some fun and pizza, to really take them deep, guess what happens? They become mature disciples, and they start leading Bible studies, and they start holding outreaches on their campuses, and they start inviting their friends. So it is really one of these events and ministries that we believe has the potential to change the entire trajectory of youth ministry in America, because it's going to help these youth pastors and churches and senior pastors understand that you don't withhold content from kids. You give the whole counsel of
That's
God
right.
to them, Genesis to Revelation.
That's right. That's right. And I really, I know a lot of people debate about shipping the kids off to Sunday school. I think old school, what did they do 200 years ago? What did they do 1,000 years ago? Parents taught the kids for one thing, but for another, the whole family worshiped together. The whole family sat in church together, heard the same songs, sang the same songs, listened to the preacher or whatever. But maybe that's for another topic. But you said something important that reminded me of, I think you said, how are kids going to get when they're being bombarded by the world, basically. I think of hours of influence. And if they're just getting an hour on a Sunday morning and or Wednesday night, and they've got social media, they've got corporations, they've got Hollywood, they've got their friends who are mostly non-believers, all this coming against them, their faith, the biblical worldview, my goodness. So it's another, there you go, there's another sales pitch for why futurehope.now is so important right now. Todd, that's the second time I've called you Todd. Jeff, we've got you guys, we've got 3 minutes left. Whatever you want to share, whatever's on your heart, just let her rip, brother.
Well, I would just say this. This is the most exciting time in all of human history to be alive. Mm. I mean, really, God must really love us a lot to have us born during a time where we're getting to see the world change, and we're getting to see the events and the ramping up to Revelation. And we very well could be the rapture generation. So there's so many exciting things that God is doing. And with that comes great responsibility and a great challenge that we have before us, that we have been tasked to reach our generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the church to make and mature disciples. And so what we have to do is continually think about, God, what is my part in this? I mean, someone may be listening right now, a young mom who's got kids at home, or someone who's retired, who's listening to this, thinking, well, how do I get involved? Well, go to futurehope.now and connect with us and just say, look, all I can do is this, I can pray. And if you can pray, then you're immediately a part of SEAL Team 7. You're in the inner circle, because we need people to pray. There are other people who may want to give or sponsor an event or help sponsor an event or go to their pastor, whatever. But we'll give you the tools and the resources that you need, because I think the time is now. And, you know, I think about Isaiah when the Lord said, who will go? And he said, here am I, Lord, send me. Hmm. I think one day in eternity, David, we're all going to look back and wish that we had said, Lord, here am I, send me. I heard a professor of mine in Dallas Seminary once say this. He said, look, if you'll never be a missionary across the ocean unless you're first a missionary across the street, across the aisle, across the classroom. And so this is our way of being a missionary where we are, and every single person can be a part of that. And so however way that God chooses to lead you to serve, do it. But this is just one thing that we're doing to help contribute towards the gospel and reaching kids.
Brother, I love that. A lot of what you shared, but especially that idea of you'll never be a missionary across the ocean until you're a missionary across the street. I know I've been praying for my neighbors, and I did door hangers last Christmas with the gospel and something about Christmas and whatever else. And we need to be trying to reach out, right? People in our sphere of influence, and everyone, you don't need to have a podcast. You don't need to have a book. You just need to have a sphere of influence. And every one of us does to some degree. So, Jeff, thank you for the encouragement again. Thank you for the book. Thank you for Future Hope. I'm really encouraged that more of these things are happening, and hopefully we, the body of Christ, those who are engaged, the remnant like yourselves, can reach this younger generation. You guys we're off to a great start thanks to people like you and Todd. So thanks for your time today. Appreciate your ministry, brother.
Thank you, David. It's always a pleasure. God bless.
All right, friends, family in Christ, brothers and sisters, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.